Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. During the demise of Western civilization, we are broadcasting on the eastern plains of Colorado, and we homeschool our children out here. And yes, we know that faith, family, and freedom are falling apart in the present day, but we're in a good mood. God is good, and He has given us some tremendous opportunities for the years to come. And we are excited because homeschooling is growing like crazy during the demise of public education. And yes, we're seeing the breakdown of the character of a nation. And of course, the government schools are spending three times what they spent per student than they did in 1960, adjusted for inflation. And they're doing so because the character of the nation is in free fall. You cannot maintain strong educational standards. You cannot expect to maintain a strong economy if the character of the nation is in free fall. If there are 41% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, if you got seven times the dysfunctional families today as you had in 1960, seven times the dysfunctional families that you had in 1960, of course you're going to have the breakdown of character and the breakdown of a nation. But we're in a good mood. We feel good. God is good. And God is giving us some tremendous opportunities. And part of it is the homeschooling movement that has swept the nation since the 1980s. I was homeschooled in the 60s and 70s by God's grace and by a lot of hard work on the part of my mother and father. But since the 1980s, we have seen a humongous increase. Homeschooling now is free. It can be practiced legally across the United States in all 50 states, thanks to a lot of work put in by the Homeschool Legal Defense Association during the 1980s and 1990s. But here's some recent numbers. Right now we stand, 2010? And Tennessee has seen homeschool population double in the last 10 years. Okay, so recent numbers in Tennessee show that homeschooling has doubled since 2000. Also, I have an article from Alberta, Canada, where in the past 5 years, homeschooling has grown at a rate of 1,000 children per year. That's a 50% increase in 5 years. Meaning, again, just like Tennessee, Alberta, Canada is seeing an increase rate of doubling in a 10-year period. And the story here quotes our buddy Ted Tedderoff, who, as you know, Dave, was down here for one of our conferences, and is a good friend. He's been down here in the basement, actually, and he's seen our little operation down here. But Ted Tedderoff commented in the story done in Alberta, Canada, concerning homeschooling growing like crazy just a little north of our border. Also, North Carolina has seen a tremendous increase. Another recent story on homeschooling, you'll see this on the internet, North Carolina has seen an increase of 110% in the last 10 years. Apparently, 43,316 families now homeschooling in North Carolina. The reason I like North Carolina is they have some of the most accurate numbers concerning home education in the country. Now, there are different ways in which you can homeschool across the United States, and there are various ways in which the state tries to monitor and tries to count the number of households that are actually engaged in homeschooling. North Carolina maintains some of the best, most accurate numbers. They have 81,509 school-aged children in North Carolina. That is, according to my numbers, 5.6% of the school population. Now, if you take that 5.6%, you multiply that times the number of school-aged children in the United States. Again, I'm taking the most accurate numbers that I can find in the United States. And that is the North Carolina numbers of 81,000. That's 5.6% of the population in North Carolina. Multiply that times the school-aged population across the United States, and you get, Dave, 2.73 million homeschooled students across America. Now, that, of course, assumes that the rate would remain constant across the United States, which I'm going to just assume for the case of these statistics that that may be the case. So, end result, my friends, it looks to me like there may be way more homeschooled children across the United States than we were given to think. And that is, I think the official numbers are 1.8 to 2 million. Right now, I'm going to guess 2.73 million homeschoolers across the United States. And at the rate we're seeing, the increases we're seeing, Dave, increasing roughly doubling every 10 years, that is 100% increase every 10 years, at that rate, if we are at 2.73 million right now, friends, we'll be at 6 million by the year 2020. Again, that's another doubling, plus some for the second generation, because the second generation kicks in big time in the year 2017. We had a huge exponential increase somewhere between 1990 and 2000, and I have taken those numbers and I have put those forward, and assuming that X percent get married, assuming that 90% of those who have been homeschooled, have said in a recent report that they will homeschool their own children, taking all these numbers together, Adding in the second generation, friends, by the year 2027, that means 17 years from right now, 2027, there may be 12 to 15 million homeschoolers across America. And those numbers, Dave, are even larger than the numbers I had forecasted a couple of years ago. If the economy improves, however, I think that may slow down our numbers. I think it's the breakup of the economy, it's the breakdown in character of the nation that seems to provide for an increase in the homeschool population.
I think there's some assumptions built into your numbers that probably will devalue what they really should be. The first is that public schools continue to fail worse and worse. Every year we see that the dollar spent in the public schools, the government schools, is turning out an inferior product. So I think for that reason alone, we'll have a rate increase of the number of people going to homeschools. Secondly, the cost of public education is about to bankrupt many states,
yeah.
And I think that'll get cut out from underneath it. So
yeah,
those kinds of factors will push many more kids into the homeschooling.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the economy is going to improve anytime too soon. Remember, I quoted U.S. News and World Report, I think it was in yesterday's program, that the economy, the employment situation in this country probably will not improve very much for another 6 to 9 years, which means if we have a bad economy, that will feed into a continual breakdown in the public schools and probably not a lot of money for the public schools unless they want to rob welfare and food stamps, which, by the way, apparently they just did. But they're going to come to the point where they can't really rob too many Peters to pay Paul. And therefore, friends, I think that homeschooling will continue to grow, and it will be substantial in the years to come. By the way, the recent numbers that we get out of North Carolina indicate that 66% of those who homeschool are, quote-unquote, religious, which means that they're religious enough to say that there was religious reasons why they wanted to homeschool. So, again, folks, Christians seem to be homeschooling at a fairly high percentage across this country. Obviously, not everybody who homeschools is a Christian. Just be aware of that. It's not the end and be all of social reformation. It's not necessarily the best thing for every single person. And just the fact that you homeschool does not mean that your children are going to succeed in life or eternity. Now, I define education as preparation, preparing our children socially, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, for life and eternity. We have a responsibility to prepare our children for life and eternity. Now, you can fail in this. You can fail in the public schools. You can fail in the private schools. I believe you have the technology to fail in the homeschool as well. So it's just the fact that you homeschool doesn't mean that you're solving all the social problems. And we're going to talk a little bit about the darker side of home education after the break. But before then, let me run something more by you. Realize that there are people all over the world that are homeschooling, and it's not just Christians. In fact, here in America, the Muslim homeschooling movement is growing pretty impressively, and there are some websites and some web magazines that you can avail yourself to if you're a Muslim and you're homeschooling your children. There was one site that I visited this morning and found that Muslims are very interested in homeschooling because they'd like to retain their faith. It turns out that Muslims lose their faith just about as quick as the Mexican Catholics do when they come to America, and they get their naturalistic, materialistic training in the good little humanist secular schools. And maybe the Muslims aren't losing their kids as quickly as American evangelical kids in the public schools, but I will tell you that you come over here from Iraq or Iran or Mexico, and you put your kids in the secular schools, in the secular culture, and you process them through their propagandize them in these machines, you're going to wind up with your children effectively being the materialists, the humanists, the existentialists that run the schools, that create the ideas whereby we live today in America. So the worldview that you get in the public schools will affect you no matter where you come from, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Mexican, or whether you are just an average, ordinary American evangelical. Now, as you read through this website, very interesting stuff. She talks about her children being in the public school, Dave. And again, these are Muslims whose children attend the public schools. She said disbelieving children, that is, unbelievers, attempting to forcefully remove her hijab, which I believe is her veil or something like that, as well as the intermingling of the male and female students was a huge problem for this lady. My child declined from her beautiful, bubbly personality to having low self-esteem, angry, and withdrawn. This is the article written on the Muslim homeschooling site. So she was concerned about her children in the public school, and her daughter was eventually beat up. She had a problem with some kid in the school just beating on her little girl, and trying to tear off her hijab or something of the sort. And that really bothered her, so she pulled her child out of the public school and put her into an Islamic school. Now, apparently, the Islamic schools were teaching the wrong doctrine, so she decided to homeschool. She was very upset with the Islamic schools as well, because evidently there are different denominations within the Islamic religion, and she wasn't happy with what was being taught in the Islamic schools, so she decided to homeschool. Now, she says, it feels indescribable when you take the time to teach your children Islam at home and give them a secular education and watch them progress. All you can do is thank Allah. That's what she says in the article about homeschooling. So Dave, it's interesting. She's got herself a little dualism here. You notice that, Dave? She's going to teach her child a little bit about Allah, and then she's going to go and teach them secularism. And I was pretty impressed with the dualistic ways of thinking among our Muslim friends as well. She also says all of the children get one-on-one learning time. My oldest daughter helps her little brother, and my son helps his younger sister. Remember that Allah Ta'ala says, and certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, and fruits, but give glad tidings to the patient ones who then afflicted with calamity say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Allah we shall return. And she quotes the Quran. So folks, this is an introduction seminar to Muslim homeschooling. Evidently, you can homeschool your children if you are a Muslim, and if you did not want your children to get an education in secularism, or if you did not want your child beat up, as the case may be. It's interesting also, Dave, she had a review of Matthewsy on this one particular site where they were very impressed with Matthewsy.
Well, Steve Demme has a nice little math program, Matthewsy. It's very visual and conceptual, and we all know that the Muslim world credits themselves with the discovery of algebra, so it makes perfect sense that they would look for a good math program, and they found one in Matthewsy, and maybe Saxon do just as well for them. But you know, when you're a Muslim homeschooler, what are you going to teach? Well, if you want to teach your children to succeed, maybe you're going to teach them a little math, you can teach them a little chemistry, a little pyrotechnics, I don't know. But Muslims, they care about passing their faith, their values to their children too. And as long as the Muslims love their children, I think it's a safer world.
Well, and again, my friends, as far as a biblical approach, as far as our biblical worldview goes, we believe that parents are the ones who ought to direct the education of their children. And if they are Muslims, then parents ought to direct the education of their children. It ought not to be directed, funded, controlled by a government. We're saying you go out there and you pick your worldview. Now, if you pick the wrong worldview, that's the problem. And personally, I don't think you're going to prepare your children for life in eternity if you pick the wrong worldview. So it is important, number one, to understand that you as a parent are responsible before God to raise your own children and to give them an education. We find this in the book of Proverbs. We find this in Deuteronomy 6:7. We find it in Ephesians 6:4. It is the responsibility of fathers and mothers to direct the education of their children. This is basic. Now, before we take the break, let me explain to you what homeschooling means to me. I said that homeschooling is not the end-all and be-all of the social problems that we have here. It's not a panacea. It's not going to solve all of life's problems. But what does homeschooling mean? What does it mean to me? Now, there are six tiers. Start with tier zero. There are tier zero reasons why people homeschool. Tier zero reasons why homeschooling is important to some people, and that is, it's a fun alternative to the public school. It makes for a nice t-shirt. Dave, as you know, in the postmodern world, you've got people who do a lot of things for a lot of different reasons, but a lot of people will try certain things because it just looks fun. It just, you know, it's an option. They have friends that do these sorts of things, and they just want to homeschool, they want to get the t-shirt, they do it for 3 months, and then it's on to the charter school. They do the charter school for a year, and then it's on to the classical school. They do that for about a year and a half, and then they move on to another public school. Dave, this is what a lot of people do. They have very few reasons for why they do what they do, and they're not all that meaningful. But I will say that there is, from some of the numbers we have received, 60 to 70% of the people who start to homeschool will quit within about 4 to 5 years. So there's a huge leak rate when it comes to home education, as it turns out. Because, as it turns out, home education is kind of a pain. You know, you have to bring your children home. You have to deal with your kids all day long. And you're probably going to be faced with character issues, and then you've got to deal with character issues, and after a while you're pulling your hair out and you want to send them back to the public schools.
Yeah, you will be dealing with character issues. Your own. It turns out it's hard loving your children, bringing them home, dealing with their sin, dealing with your sin. Children take almost
24-hour supervision when they're home. You can't turn your back on the small ones for even 5 minutes or they're going to be doing something dangerous. Then you have to deal with their resistance to learning, you know, the whining, and so forth. It takes a lot of love to bring a child home and homeschool them. And homeschooling won't make you love your child more. You got to have the love to do the homeschooling.
Yeah. Well, homeschooling means a fun alternative to the public school at tier zero. And there are tier zero homeschoolers. So if you step out to your neighbors or you step out into a homeschool conference and you start to meet folks, you're going to find tier zero homeschoolers. They will homeschool because they're just out to get a good T-shirt. And once they got the T-shirt, it's time to move on. All right, then there's Tier 1 homeschoolers, and that is there are homeschoolers who believe that home education is a better academic approach. And that's really what I think this lady believes who wrote the Muslim article. She believes that homeschooling is a great opportunity to teach your own children. One-on-one is a powerful form of teaching. It's the tutorial approach has always been much, much better than standing up in front of 30 students and lecturing at a chalkboard. So it's a better academic approach to a lot of people. That's Tier 1. Tier one reasons. And their kid won't get beat up at home. They might get beat up in the schools, and we get so many stories relating to some rather unsavory social experiences that these children are involved with, and they want to come home, and they want to bring them home. And a lot of moms want to protect their kids, and I think this is, again, a much better reason to homeschool than the tier zero folks. And I think a lot of people want to protect their children, and that is vitally important in the raising of a child. It's important enough to love them, to protect them. So bring them home. Don't let them get beat up in your public schools. That's a tier one reason why homeschooling is important. Here's tier two. Tier two reason why homeschooling is important is that it breaks the monopoly of the public schools. And this is a little more of a libertarian reason. I mean, there are libertarians out there that says, you know what, the public schools pretty much have monopolized the thought. There's no way we're ever going to be free as a nation as long as you have a very rigid system of thinking and education that is being imposed upon the masses. Now, I think this is important. I think it is important to unplug the electrodes from time to time. People who have been so programmed by public schools can maybe not open their minds to the gospel or to new ideas or to a different worldview. So it's great to unplug the electrodes. Now, I would say, again, just because you're out of the public schools does not mean you're going to give your child a good education. So we're at tier two now, and even though you're out of the public schools, even though you're protecting your children, it doesn't mean you're really going to produce a good education. You're escaping something. You're not necessarily embracing something yet. That brings us to tier three. And tier three involves parental freedoms and family freedoms. This is why Homeschool Legal Defense Association exists. And a lot of people have fought very hard battles in order to get our children out of the public schools and to be able to make our own decisions as parents, whether that 7-year-old kid needs to sit through his sex ed class or whether he's got to take some kind of a survey concerning his sexual behavior or what have you. A lot of parents are concerned about what's going on in the public schools. They would like a little more family freedom and parental control over what's going on. And the battle for parental freedoms and parental controls of these things, I think, is vitally important. And that's one reason why we fight the compulsory attendance laws as hard as we do in this state, as our local socialist tyrants are doing everything they can to get those kids into those classrooms as early as possible, making sure our little boys are nailed to those desks when they're 3-4 years of age and pump full of Ritalin so they don't get too hyperactive. And they want to process our boys. They want control over our children. And there are a lot of families out there that want fighting for those freedoms. All right, tier four reasons for homeschooling is that we want to reintegrate the family. And this is getting to where we're at, Dave. We're not just tier zero. It's not just a fun alternative for us. It's not just a better alternative in terms of an academic approach. It's not just breaking the monopoly of the public schools. It's not just parental freedom for us. Tier four reasons for homeschooling is it reintegrates the family. We believe that there ought to be some pretty radical social realignments if the family is going to be salvaged in the years to come. Moreover, it's also at tier four an opportunity to develop a biblical concept of education and discipleship. So we actually believe that the theory, the methodology of education that is involved in a lot of the public schools and the institutional approach to education is just stuffing facts into kids' minds. It doesn't really involve life integration and the focus on character and the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And again, the bringing of a biblical world and life view into the science and the history and the curriculum. That's tier four. So again, as we get to tier four, now we've got even more reason to homeschool. Tier five is an opportunity for what I believe to be a full-orbed social realignment in the years to come. So those are the six tiers. In just a moment, we're coming back to talk about the dark side of home education. But friends, homeschooling's not a panacea. It's got to be done right. And there are some dark sides to this thing we call home education. Be back in a moment.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Folks, Kevin Swanson here, your host on the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, I've been homeschooled for, 42 years out of my life, been homeschooling my own children for the last, 18, 19 years. My son's almost 19 years of age. And we've been in this movement since 1968, when my mother was first homeschooling me out in Portland, Oregon, before we went to the mission field in Japan, where they continued to homeschool me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a negative side. As a homeschool leader, as somebody who's been involved in this for generations, I will tell you there's a negative side to homeschooling. And Dave, the first one's obvious. It's those that pick the wrong religion. I mean, you can pick the wrong religion. You can fail to fear God in the homeschool environment. You have the technology. I mean, you can blow this. It is possible to ruin your homeschooling of your children because you picked the wrong curriculum. You didn't really put the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. You didn't teach God as the very basic fundamental building block in understanding history and science.
Well, of course. I mean, content matters. It's not just method. The homeschooling is just the method. The content has to be the right content. Otherwise, you're going to fill the child with the wrong worldview and get the wrong result. That would seem to be a little bit obvious.
Well, you have these Wiccan homeschoolers now, too.
Wiccan,
yeah. It's a bunch of witches. I guess get together and they do the little cauldron thing, and you know they do their little incantations and they throw their bat's wings in and stuff. And I guess the kids just stand around and take notes. I don't know. What do Wiccans do when they homeschool?
I don't know. Do the kids get together at homeschool support groups and say, my teacher's a witch?
I don't know. Anyway, folks, you can fail to homeschool your children according to the proper worldview. And as a parent, you need to pick the right worldview. And remember that you're not just trying to get your kid into Harvard. You need to get them into heaven. So that's another aspect. And I know this is brought out in just about every other homeschool conference. Mike Smith from HSLDA has got a great talk called Harvard or Heaven. It's really good. I mean, he's trying to put the focus in on heaven. Is we're really trying to disciple our children in the process while we're giving them a few facts along the way. Okay, folks, here's another problem. Now, we're talking about the dark side of homeschooling. I call it the Matthew Murray implosions. Dave, you remember Matthew Murray? Matthew Murray was a nice little homeschooled kid, raised by his parents here in the state of Colorado, and they just imploded. Man, that boy imploded. And there was bloodshed in a number of different ministries along the Front Range. Was it 3 years ago?
I don't remember how long ago it was, but you had a homeschooler who went on a shooting rampage.
Yeah, yeah. And folks, I'll tell you what, sometimes it's more dangerous for some little nice little Christian homeschool kid to implode than it is for some passive pagan to just do this passive pagan thing. I mean, a lot of people, I think a lot of ordinary unbelieving folks out there who see these Christian kids who got all this rebellion and all this anger and all this opposition to their parents, they explode on the scene. Oh, no, here comes another homeschool rebel. It's going to be a cotton-picking mess when this guy implodes. It's better sometimes, I think, to it's safer. It's less destructive when you've got passive paganism instead of this latent rebellion that just implodes, just, you know, explodes all over the scene, and you have pieces of everybody on the walls. And this kind of thing, friends, is not unusual among Christian families, serious Christian families, unfortunately. These sorts of things do happen. Dave, there is also what I would call parents who have a relationship with their kids that is rather distant. They've sort of got a detente working, and they really don't have much of a relationship. And then you have people, homeschoolers, that live in relationship, and the relationship is filled with bitterness and rebellion.
Well, you have a group, especially in the males, the boys, who have a hard time with relationships, especially with their father who might be absent. Sometimes because they're boys, they're set in front of video games and other things to occupy them, especially by their mothers who don't quite understand the nature of boys. And as this relationship continues not to grow, these children end up getting some resentment and bitterness about why their parents don't love them. They're home, and yet they're not getting the warmth and nurture that they were hoping for.
Well, and you brought up the other problem with homeschooling, that is boys. Boys need to be raised by men, and that's not happening in vast, vast segments of our culture. And it's not happening among a lot of homeschoolers. Now, it turns out the boy-girl ratio has been falling like a rock for the last 10 to 15 years, according to recent statistics. And so boys are disenfranchised in the education program, and certainly homeschooling is no exception to the rule. Why? Dad's out of the home. For the most part, dad's not involved. Dad's not engaged. And that little boy's relationship with his mother often falls off the cliff when he's 12, 13, 14 years of age. Why? Because, friends, from the beginning of time, it was boys raised by men, by fathers. And you find this all the way through the scriptures. You find that Joseph was feeding his father's sheep. You see that boys are out in the fields with their father when they get headaches and they have problems. And you find Peter and James and John and these guys out fixing the nets with Zebedee, their father. You find all these examples of boys working with their fathers for about 6,000 years until the corporate system, the industrial system, took dads out of the home and then virtually ruined the boys. It took 6-7 generations for that to happen. But friends, homeschooling is not a panacea for boys. We got to find better ways to bring fathers into their lives and men into their lives, maybe some coaches, maybe some mentors, maybe some disciplers. And that, of course, is what we try to do with the Shepherd Center in my basement here in Elbert County, Colorado. All right. Now, we've got a few other problems, Dave. And one of them, I got a whole list here, and we're going to hit every single one of them. But one of them is isolation. Isolation. Now, in a recent article, Doug Wilson from Moscow brought this thing up. Now, I did not agree with every aspect of the article in Credenda Agenda, but I will tell you that there is a degree of isolation among homeschoolers that is not healthy. And that isolation is often isolation from the wider community. That is, homeschoolers can really be the independently minded people that become sort of rabidly independent, libertarian, anarchical, and they really don't want to be traveling in any kind of a herd, including the church. Now, personally, I'm against the institutionalized form of life, which has been imposed on us for the last 200 years. I'm not really into institutional education, sitting in desks with 40 people around me for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, looking straightforward and not really being discipled in a warm relational context. Okay, I'm not really hot on institutionalization. I think that's come out on the show a time or two. But on the other hand, I do believe that man is meant to be in a body, an organic body, families first and foremost, but also in churches. Now, the churches don't need to be these institutionalized, program-driven, classroom-oriented systems. But I tell you what, if you're a homeschooler and you're not part of a warm, functional church where there are accountability structures and you're learning how to love one another and submit to elders, man, you're out of it. And folks, we have some great resources for you on my site, kevinswanson.com. First, my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Also, the book of Proverbs is God's book on education. It is really God's theory on education. That's why I put out a Bible study guide on the book of Proverbs, available at kevinswanson.com. I encourage you to check it out at our website, kevinswanson.com, where you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.